Look at these words. He's for me. Are those words alive in you?
Yeah.
Okay, watch this. Some of you in here today, you're on your way to hell, and you don't even know God. You don't have peace. You know about God. You come here. We love on you. But you don't even know God yet. Do you know why we sing these words? Because He's for you. He's for you. He's not the Muslim God. He's not against you. He's for you. Do you understand? He's for you. And there's nothing but the blood of Jesus that can cleanse you. It's not knowing about Jesus. It's you coming and bringing your life just like you are. God, I am a sinner. And I needed you to die for me. I want to give you my life. I want to give you my sin. He says, let's enter into a swap meet. He says, you give me your sin, all of it, and I'm going to give you my righteousness. Father's going to see you as if you were me, Jesus said. And there's nothing but the blood of Jesus that can make you right with God. Nothing but the blood. That's why these words get sung over and over again. He's for me. Every good and perfect gift comes from you. How does that tune go? Every good and perfect gift comes from you. See, I taught him how to sing that. Every good and perfect gift comes from you. You see, it's like, God, the other day, we've been praying for Emelina for like a year and a half. We've been praying, and she just got worse. She got worse. She didn't just have those two kidneys that weren't functioning right. They got so bad, they had to take them out. She wasn't just doing dialysis once a month or down to once a week. Now, they took those kidneys out, and they had to do dialysis. Mercada had to do it at her home, Mother. Mother, she had a little girl that every single day for her to stay alive, she had to cleanse the toxins out of her body with this dialysis process. She's not sleeping. The mother's not sleeping. She's like, the family's not. They're all over there. They're taking care of her. She got worse. But during this time, Mercada, the mother, came to know Jesus Christ because she so needed Him. She so needed Him. There was a song we were singing today, Brother Wayne, and it said, let your mercies fall from heaven. And when we started singing that song, God started having different ones of you, almost every one of you, appear before my eyes while I was singing that song. There was Wayne and Claudia. And there was John and Mavis. And there was Wayne and Tana. There was each one of you are coming before my eyes one at a time, and God is saying, they need mercy. Mercy is when you don't get what you deserve. If we go out on 131 at 5 o'clock and you got all the cars going by, if we step out in the road, what's probably going to happen? I'm sorry? You're going to die. You see, we make a choice and then there is a consequence. You make choices in your life every day and then you wonder why your life is like it is. We keep trying to bring you the Word of God, but you have to make the choice that you want Jesus. You want His way. You need Him. Please don't let me get what I deserve. Please have mercy on me. And God was saying to me, Harvey, you need to cry out for mercy for these people because some of them aren't even realizing they have a need. They're complaining because of their life. They're hurting. They're miserable. But they're not turning to me, Jesus said. Harvey, call out to me for mercy. I want you to ask me to just have mercy in this place on the individuals here. There are those of you that are prayer warriors, intercessors. There are those of you that pray for other people. And then there's those of you that love God, and God brings people to your mind. He doesn't bring them to your mind for you to just think about or say, yeah, I go to church with them, or maybe I ought to have them over for dinner. Maybe He wants you to do that. But He brings them to your mind, and it's not to gossip about. If you see their faults, and like with me, it's easy to see mine. So when you see me, when God brings me to your mind, pray for me. Pray that God would deliver me from the things I don't see, from the things that I need deliverance from. When God brings somebody else to your mind, it could be a neighbor, it could be a loved one, it could be somebody that you don't even like, somebody that doesn't like you, somebody that's hurt you, somebody that's damaged you. Pray for them. God, I lift them up. I'm asking you to have mercy. I'm asking you to forgive them. I'm asking you to do whatever it takes to open their eyes. That song, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. Lord, I want to see you. Do you want to see him? I mean, do you? Then tell him, Lord, open the eyes of my heart. That's why we sing in these songs over and over and over again. Get those words in you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Because we don't always know how to pray. But doesn't that, couldn't you pray that? Pray it right now. Lord, open the eyes of my heart. Lord, I want to see you. Let your mercies fall from heaven. Sweet mercies fall from heaven. Let your mercies fall from heaven. I don't know all those words. Something about today, I need it. Today, I need it. I'm not up here just going crazy because I'm crazy. Yes, I am. But I am doing it because I am praying because it's in my heart. God, today we need mercies in these marriages. Today we need mercies in these relationships. Today we need mercies in their hearts. We just had somebody who was here every week go home to heaven 2 weeks ago. I don't know that you're going to be here next week. I don't know. I want God. I want you to have peace with God. I want you. I could start talking about sin, and I watch your faces, and a lot of you squirm, you start hiding. Somebody talks about sin. I say, God, search me. If there's something, I want to see it. But I have so much peace with God, I don't care when I die. I don't care. I'm not afraid of dying at all. I haven't been for 37 years. If you're afraid of dying, come today and let us help you. Bring you under the blood of Jesus so you can have peace with God. If you have come and you've gotten peace with God and you know you're going to heaven, maybe you tried to do that and you said, well, I prayed this prayer, did whatever some preacher told me or whatever, but I don't have peace. Then come. That's why I ask you to read the Bible, because as you know the truth, as you hear the truth, the truth will set you free. I'm set free because I know the truth. And when the devil tries to bring a lie, I've read that Bible and I'm going, it don't fit. It don't ring true in here. I know the truth. I want you to know the truth. I don't want you to, you don't have to be like me. Aren't you glad? You need to be like who God created you to be. But you need to get free in that. And the very first thing is you've got to get right with God. You've got to have peace with God. You've got to have peace with God. And I want you to. I know you want it. Don't be afraid. Everybody has sin. Come and get honest about it. If I asked you each one, if I went around and said, are you honest? And you'd tell me yes. And then I'd ask you a few questions, and you might find out you're not. You're not honest. Because you've got to get honest about your sin. I have sin. And I've sinned against myself. I've sinned against others. I've sinned against God. And I need to come to God to get forgiveness. And the only way to get forgiveness is not asking, God, forgive me. Because He won't forgive you, just you asking Him. God will forgive when you come and you bring the blood of Jesus and said, I have nothing to offer you but the blood of Jesus. Jesus died for me. Will you forgive me because Jesus died for me? And the Father said, that's the only way I'll forgive you. And you come and you put yourself under and you, Jesus, God bless you. You say, Jesus. Okay, bless you again. Hey, Jesus, I needed you to die for me. Thank you so much. I'm sorry that I killed you with my sin. Jesus, thank you so much. You loved me so much. When I am so selfish and distant and thinking about all this other stuff, and you're so caring for me, you're constantly pursuing me with your love. Do you know why I go around acting crazy and hugging on you people and kissing you? And doing all this. Do you know why? Because He wants you to know. He wants you to know that's how He feels toward you. He wants you to know He loves you. He's for you. He's not against you. You have sin? Good. Then bring it to Him and let it get dealt with. And then you can go forward with God. If you've done that, then go forward with God. Quit holding on. I already know. I already know. I've heard this before. Okay, this isn't working then. God's way works every single time. Do you know that? Do you know that God's way works? Now, I'm not trying to be offensive, but let me get my nose in your business. Does your way work? Are you full of peace and joy and love? And it's so coming, it's so you're so full that you feel like you're about to bust? How would you do? Is your way working? How's your finances? Well, how's your relationships? Well, how's your marriage? Well, do you want to change? Do you want it to keep being the same, or would you like it to be different? That was a question. Do you want it to be different, Hannah? Amen. It's this little girl over here. I want to be what God wants me to be. I want it to be the way God wants. Isn't that cool? I can understand Kentuckian. I love it. Ma'am, I'm only playing. I love Kentucky. When I'm heading down to Florida, about the time I get to Kentucky or Tennessee, I get out whenever we stop the car and I kiss the ground and say, thank you, Lord. I'm back where they talk right. You know, they ain't going to put sugar on their grits. And there ain't so many of them. You don't need AAA if you break down. Up here, you need AAA. Down there, somebody will pick you up, take you to their house. You ate, son? Nope. Okay, and they feed you, and then they get Cousin Wilbur to go fix your car. I love it. That's how it was when I was living in Tennessee. I love being down there. If you're from Michigan, it's okay. That's fine. I love it. I just like messing with the people up here. I'm just challenging you. Do you want more of God? I'm just challenging you. You can't just keep doing the same thing and expect a different result. And what you know, if you don't like your life, what you know is it working. Do you get it? Do you get what I'm saying? If you keep doing the same thing and it's not working, we need to do something different. Today, I dare you right now, draw a circle around your heart. Take your heart and say, God, I want to give you my heart. God, I want to give you my heart. I want to give you my life. I'm tired of my life being like it is. But what about the other people? And, you know, I'm giving my heart, but what about the people around me? You know, this week when when Mercado got the call about Emelina getting that kidney, they said there's four people. Do me a favor. Somebody get me some water, if you would. There's four people, they said, to get a kidney. And they said, you're number four. She's getting one. He's got one. Hey, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, that's Methodist baptism. Okay. Watch this. Thank you. When they got the call, they said, there's four people in line, Mercada, and Emelina's number four. That means there's three other people that have a chance to get this kidney before you. And so she went, and she was so expecting that this was God's answer. She took, and so wanting, she didn't stay at home and say, okay, I'll sit here and watch my soap operas and just let me know. She took that baby and she went to the hospital and said, I'm here. I'm expecting. I'm waiting. I'm wanting. Do you understand? And then they went through the first one and said, oh no. They said, the first one was disqualified, whatever. I don't know all the exact details. I just know the God part of it. And then they said, now the second one's going to get it. So you might as well go home. So I don't know if I'm telling it exactly right, but let's say Mercada went home. And then they called her back and said, well, the second one's disqualified. But Mercada stayed there a lot of the day, but they kept sending her home. And then they would call her back and say, no, this one's not getting it. You come. You come. And Mercada would come back. And it got down to the last one between, there was one more. And then they called and they told Mercada, just, nope, he's going to get it. You go home. And she went home. But she didn't just go home. She came here. And Pastor Glenn called me and said, do you know what's going on about Mercada and Emelina? And I go, I don't know what I said, but I already knew, but I didn't know. But I mean, I knew for the most part. I just didn't know she was here at the building. He said, she's here at the altar during the day and she's praying. Well, in my heart, my first thought that the devil gave me was she didn't get the kidney and she was here crying and saying, oh God, I want Emily to have this kidney. Why didn't she get it? And he said, I think he told me. I don't know how it went, but I think he told me or else she called my wife. One way or the other, I got this message. She didn't come here to cry and complain. Why not me, God? Why don't you give me what I want? Do you know that God doesn't bless complaining? God blesses thankfulness. Okay, I'm just going to say that again. Matter of fact, I'll say it a few more times till you get it. God doesn't bless complaining. Right. Have you ever complained? Are you honest? Let's see if you're hand. Let's see if you're honest. Okay, those of you that didn't raise your hand, you're not honest. Okay. You ever complain? He doesn't. You want to complain? Complain to God. Pour it out. Go read Psalms. David complained. Oh God, my heart is heavy. Complain to God. Don't complain to other people. They can't do anything about it. Complain to God. He can. He wants to heal your heart. He wants to kiss your boo-boos. Do you understand? He blesses thankfulness. She came here to praise and thank God. God, thank you that she had a chance. It must have been somebody else's time to get the kidney. Thank you for that. I trust you, God. Here's what she told me. She said, I trust you, God, no matter what happens. I trust you, God. You're a good God. And this is a lady that is a few months older than Jesus. She came from a Muslim background. The Muslims were so anti-God, she didn't want nothing to do with them. They hurt her. So her whole family's like, let's go try that Christianity thing. And all she knew was the Catholicism and the rituals and go pay so that God would answer their prayer. That's what she was taught when she went over to a church downtown here. Go put your money and maybe God will give you what you want. Let's make a deal. And then somebody said, somebody in the family, we had prayed for them before. And they said, I know somebody who really knows God. And she brought her to us a year and a half ago. We started teaching her, you don't have to give money to get God to answer your prayer. You don't? Over there, they said I'm supposed to. I know. They don't know God. They only know about God. They use God. I said, here's the real God. And then we just started loving on them, believing on them, spending time with them, teaching them. The difference is, these Bosnians are so open and they're childlike. They're not childish like me. Y'all think I'm childish. They're childlike. When we tell them something, they just believe it. We show it to them in the Bible, they believe it. They don't argue. They're not like normal Americans and argue and full of pride and full of opinions and full of all this junk. They just receive and they believe. And when I go to pray out loud, when I go to pray out loud, when I'm around them, you know what they do? Everyone, they all say the same words I'm saying. They say them out loud. Why? Because they want to own it. They want it. They're not proud and sit there and act like, bless me if you can. They're like wide open. Don't you want your life to change? Don't you want to have peace? Don't you want to have joy? Don't you want to see the reality of God a lot more than you have? Do you? I keep telling you, it is a kingdom of humility. We have to lower ourselves. We have to let down the walls. I know you've been hurt. Go to God. He is called the Comforter. When you need to get healed, that's how you're going to get to know Him as the healer and the comforter, is when you go to Him. But when you keep not going to Him, you get bitter. When you go to Him, you get better. Oh, Jesus. I have a sermon. I don't even know if we're going to get to it. Let your mercies fall from heaven. Let your mercies fall from heaven. Sweet mercies for today. Shower them down, Lord. Now we pray. Wayne and Nate and Tom, get up there. And brother, I wish it could always be like this. Every Sunday, man, it was just like God just right here. I want to live there. I don't want to just have it happen once a week. I want to live in that place with God. So I have to make choices that are different from the choices I've been making to live there. You understand? If you have a Bible, please open it. We're going to go to Matthew 13. And here's the title of the sermon today. What is the condition of my heart? Are you honest? Thank you for being honest. I was in Cass Quarter. Do you know where Cass Quarter is in Detroit? Have you ever heard of Cass Quarter? It's an 8-square-block area that the police won't go into. And there's a man there that is a brother that's where he ministers. His name's Brother Joe Hicks. We call him Boo Dog. And back years ago when we went to church together, I went down there. I like to go where you go, Brother Hicks. Now, I've witnessed all kinds of people. I've dealt with all kinds of people. But I did not like Cass Quarter. When I went down into Cass Quarter, it was like going to hell. It was horrible. I mean, there was no love. There was no light. There was just like, you felt like people were looking at you like somebody, you just felt like you were going to get killed or hurt or raped or something. It was like horrible place to walk. And I mean, come here, you be Brother Hicks, come here. And Brother Hicks is kind of about his size, except for he's a little bigger than him. He's kind of big like that, but he's a little bigger than him. And so wherever Brother Hicks went, I kind of like stayed with him like I was his kid, you know. And I'm an adult. My son was with me. My son's just walking, you know. But I'm like kind of like almost hanging on to Brother Hicks because, dude, it was scary. And we were walking down the road. The road was here. And, I mean, this is like desolate. You've seen them in movies, like those kind of, when it looks really bad. Well, this is it, okay? It's called Cass Quarter. It's over in Detroit. I know afterwards you're all going to sign a list. You want to go there. You want me to take you there on a tour. But I don't want to go there, okay? I'll let Bulldog take you there. I do not want to go there again, okay? I'll deal with all the rest of them outside of there. I don't like that place. So Bulldog and I are walking along. And I'm like looking and I'm scared and I'm like looking like this and I'm walking along. And then all of a sudden I look back because I'm staying right by him, you know. Like his shadow is no closer than I am, okay. And all of a sudden, he ducks into a door. There's a bar, and he goes in there to witness. And I look around. I go to go. I'm like, where'd he go? I thought, somebody got him. The boogeyman got him. Oh, no. And I'm like looking. I'm frantically looking around. And here he had ducked in a door. And I look in there, and it's like dark, like a cave. And I walk in, and it's a bar. And I'm like, this is not where I want to be. And Brother Hicks walks in there. He's their pastor. They all call him, how you doing, pastor? How you doing, preacher man? Whatever they call him. He loves these people like I love you. These are his people. This is his church. His church doesn't meet in a building. When he has church, it's always on the street. If you want to go online, my wife was showing me because he's still doing it to this day. She just was showing me the other day, and I don't remember if he was standing on top of the truck or something. I don't remember, but they were feeding people, and he's just up there preaching. And it's on the street. It's always on the street. And he ducked in this place, and I walked in there because I was scared to not be with that. I just wanted to be wherever he was. I was scared. And I'm not normally afraid of anything, man. I mean, you know. But that place scared me. And I went in there, and he went around just loving on these people at the bar. You need Jesus. He does that because Jesus said, would you be willing to let me love them? Because nobody else will. Harvey's scared of them. Will you let me love them? And Bulldog's like, sure. And Bulldog just goes in there and he just loves on these people. And we were walking. You said something a minute ago. We were walking down the street. And I'm hanging out with Bulldog. And this guy comes walking across this desolate place where there's broken down buildings and stuff. And I see this guy walking across. And I felt like God said, go witness to him. So I start walking toward him. And we're about from here. I'm about from here to that window. And he yells out, get away from me! He knew. He knew in his spirit that I was after him. Because God told me to go get him. Remember, Glenn? Go get him. Yeah. And I just kept walking toward him. And he's yelling at me. Get away from me! I don't want nothing to do with you! Get away! And we're walking toward each other and he's screaming at me. It's out on the street. And at this point, I'm not afraid because it was like God spoke to me and whew, I just do whatever he says and then it's fine, you know. But when I was just going there with Bulldog, I was scared until God told me to do this. And I never forget this, and this happened maybe 30 years ago. It's just like I can still see it. And I'm walking toward the guy, and he's screaming at me, and Jesus is just loving this guy inside of me. See, when Jesus loves you, that's so cool. But when Jesus loves somebody else through you, and you let him love somebody through you, I'm telling you, it's like you just, I did all those drugs and nothing's higher than Jesus' love. Nothing's higher. So I'm walking toward him and he's screaming at me. And I pulled out a track. I walked up to him and I went to witness and I stuck my hand out and he just like, he wanted to hit me. I don't know why he didn't. And he was like, ugh! Like, he wouldn't touch me, wouldn't shake my hand. And I don't remember what all I said. I just told him that God loved him and Jesus loved him. And he said words and he was hurting. That's why people act like that. Because somebody else has hurt them. And God told me to give him a track and I pulled out a track. A track is a little pamphlet that tells somebody how to get closer to Jesus or how to know Jesus. And I pulled out a track and I said to him, he said, I don't want nothing to do with that. I tried to hand it to him. He goes, I don't want nothing to do with that. And I said, could I shake your hand because you're honest? He said, what do you mean? I said, you don't want nothing to do with it, and you're being honest about it. You're not playing the game like so many people. And they smile at you and stab you in the back or talk about you. Hypocrites. I said, you're honest. And here's what God had me say to him. I said, I want to give this to you because one day, I said, you're hurting and you're lonely. And Jesus loves you so much that he's willing to wait in line while you put everything else in front of him and you spend all your time and energy and life on everything else. But I want you to take this and put it on your dresser at home. Don't throw it away. Because one of these days, you're going to be at a place where you want to kill yourself. You just wish you weren't here anymore. You don't have one friend on the planet. And I want you to know that Jesus loves you. And if you will not throw this away and you keep this, that one day before you kill yourself, you pick it up and you read this, and you're going to find that Jesus loves you more than anybody on the planet ever could. And he reached out and he took it from me and said, okay. Because he wasn't ready right then. But what I did was I planted a seed of love and hope, a Jesus seed. And he said, I will take it. He said, he didn't say these words, but basically, I'm not ready for it now. But what you're saying, preacher, is true. And I'll keep this seed. Do you understand? You got to love people where they're at. You got to allow them to make the decisions that they're making. And you got to keep loving them. And when you don't love them, I admit it. Tell God, I don't even like this person. But I'm willing to let you love them through me, but God, my love is too shallow for their need. My love is too selfish. They've hurt me. Whatever. Do you understand? They've hurt me. I don't want nothing to do with them. I wish they would go away. I hope you don't wish they'd go to hell, because it's a true place. One of these days, pretty soon, we're going to have a sermon called The Reality of Hell. And I'm going to show you hell in the Bible. God wants to come in you first for you. And then when He heals you and loves on you and ministers in your life, and you get walking with Him and you get to know Him, when His love comes inside of you, you're going to, all of a sudden, you're going to become aware of the people around you, that they're needy, that they're hurting. And I don't know if you know this, but the majority of people on this planet that die every day go to hell. Not many go to heaven. And just because you know about Jesus doesn't mean you're going there. Are you ready? God told me this. 85% of Christian church membership in America is going to hell. Doesn't even know God. They know about God. They don't know God. No wonder America's like it is. Do you understand? A church is a hospital for sinners. You're in the right place. We're just going to love on you to Jesus. We're going to love you even when you act bad. Have you ever, anybody in here that knows Jesus now, you ever acted bad, thought bad toward me, said bad things about me? And what did we do? Just loved you to Jesus, didn't we? Could I ask you one question? Those of you who know who that applies to. And she got so mad at me, she wouldn't even talk to her own husband for 3 days. And then she thought about what I said. And then she called out to God for mercy through the blood of Jesus and was born again. And now she loves me to pieces. She doesn't always like me, but she loves me to pieces. I want your life to be what God created it to be. I want you to not have the pain that you live with. I want you to know how to have skills of how to live and deal with everyday life in reality. See, when you get saved and then you go, I just wish God would do this. I wish God would just move them out of my life. I wish God would just change this. What if He doesn't? Okay, you can pray and ask Him. And He says, nope. I give them a free will too. So let me teach you how to love them to Jesus. Let me teach you how to come to me, God says, so that you can deal with coping skills. You understand? How to make it through every day, but not make it through like you're barely being able to get to the top of the water, but be able to get through walking on the water with Jesus. Do you want that?
Amen.
Do you want that?
Amen.
Then let me challenge you. Don't just listen. Whatever we talk about doing, this is not smorgasbord. Aren't you? Quit picking and choosing. The things we teach you, the things we show you, do them. When we pray, you pray it. God, that's my prayer. If you can't say the words as fast as I talk, because I'm not from here, but I've been around here so much, I talk fast like y'all do. If you can't, just say amen at the end. God, I want that. I want that to be my prayer. I want you to get me, whatever it takes. I've got to have Jesus. Make me desperate, God. I don't want to just live where I'm living. I've got to have you. Amen? Whew. I feel so much better now. Okay. Matthew 13, 1 through 9. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him. So that he went into a ship and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables. Do you know what a parable is? It's a story of everyday life that teaches a lesson or a moral. He taught them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. Do you know what a sower is? It's somebody that has seed in their hand. You ever seen them, like in movies or something? Or maybe you were raised that way. My mother-in-law would say, I was raised that way down in Arkansas. She could tell you about it. And she said they go out and they plow the field, and then the sowers come along and they have a sack of seed. And as they walk along, they take the seed and they sow it. Sometimes you have to plant it down in there, but it's sowing seed. And that's how they do it. Anybody ever done that or seen that? Okay. A sower went forth to sow. And when he had sowed, some of the seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Now, we're going to talk about the different kind of soils, which represent hearts. Your heart is in this story. What kind of heart do you have? Do you have a wayside heart? One where it's a path, like through the field, where everybody walks on that path? If you've ever seen this, and I have, you'll know that that path is hard because everybody walks on it. It's like where they have roads, and then next to the road it's soft. You know what I'm talking about? Like you're driving and it says soft shoulders. And I always reach over and touch my wife. Soft shoulders. But you know what I'm saying? It's like you, if you get off too far, you could wreck your car. You could get stuck. Do you know what I'm saying? Okay. All right. So this is what it's talking about. The wayside is where they walked, where it was hard. That's how streets began. Before they paved them, they were hard places where everybody traveled the same area. And it made the ground real hard. He said the sower went forth to sow, and he sowed. When he sowed some of the seeds, they fell by the waysides, and the fowls, the birds, came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth. And forthwith or immediately they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched because they had no root. They withered away. And some fell among thorns. And the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. And Jesus said, who hath ears to hear? Let him hear. Go down to verse 18. Jesus gives the interpretation of the parable. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, O snake breath, the devil, and catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed in the stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon or immediately with joy he receives it. Oh, I like this. This is wonderful. Yet hath he not root in himself, but he dureth or endureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he's offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it. And because of that, that person also bears fruit and brings forth. Some people bring forth 100-fold, Some people bring forth 60. Some people bring forth 30. That means there's a result of hearing the Word. There's a result of hearing the Word. What kind of heart do you have? What is the condition of my heart? Turn over to Mark chapter 4 and verse 2. Please. And he taught them many things by parables and said unto them in his doctrine, in his teaching. You know, people are so silly when I hear them say, they just teach doctrine over there. Doctrine means teaching. It's not something bad. We need to be taught. Is there anybody that doesn't need to be taught? I just need to know who to pray for. Is there anybody that doesn't need to be taught? Okay, good. I'm glad you're not that dumb. Okay, here we go. Verse 3. Jesus said, hearken. Do y'all ever hear me say stuff like, pay attention now, or get this, or something like that? Well, Jesus said, hearken. It's the same thing. Check it out. Behold, get this. Pay attention. There's a test at the end. It's called your life. That's what Jesus said. Hearken. Listen. Behold. There went out a sower to sow, and it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit, that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear. Do you have ears? He says, let him hear. Now look at verse 14. The sower soweth the word. He's given the interpretation. What is the seed? It's the word. The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. Everybody hears the word somehow. And when they had heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they had heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. But because they have no root in themselves, they're shallow. They take the word, oh, that's exciting, but they don't let it get down and grow roots inside of them. They receive it with gladness and have no root in themselves, and so they endure for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust, the strong desires of other things, entering in. And what does it do? It chokes the word that they heard. It chokes it from bringing forth life. It chokes it. It takes away the life out of it. And it becometh, the word becomes unfruitful in that person. And these are they, he talks about another heart, these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, verse 5, please. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. When you hear the word, what do you do with it? What kind of heart do you have? What do you do with the word when you hear it? How important is it to you? It's the seed of God. A sower went out, sowed, some fell by the wayside, it was trodden down, the fowls of the air devoured it, and some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it, and other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit a hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Where are we? Verse 11. Now the parable is this. The seed is the Word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear the Word of God. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the Word out of their hearts, lest or unless they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which when they hear, they receive the Word with joy. But these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation they fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they, which when they have heard, they go forth. But they forget the Word, because they're choked with the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life. And they bring no fruit from that seed. They bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the Word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. The seed is the Word of God. The sower are the preachers, the witnesses. Anyone who scatters the Word or gives the Word is a sower. The soils are the heart condition of the hearer. There's a verse in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2. It's a very sad verse to me. It says, the Word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. I'm getting ready to go to pretty soon here. I'm getting ready to go for 2 months, I think, to Uganda and Kenya and India. I've been praying about it for several years, and God just gave me the release about a week ago. And so I'm making plans to leave to go to Africa and Asia. I plan on being over there for two months. When I talk to them over there, conditions are going to be rougher than what I'm used to. But it sounds like paradise to me. You know why? These people have nothing. But you know what they have? They have hearts that are hungry. And they're used to preachers coming. White preachers from America, coming, staying in the hotel. When it's convenient, they'd go, they do their meetings. They go back, they eat their comfortable lunches and stuff. They get their rest. They go back, they'll do another little meeting. They said, come do seminars and all this. And I'm like, I don't do seminars. And then they go back, they eat their comfortable meal. And then they go back and they do their night meeting for a little bit. And then they go back and they stay at the hotel, nice plush hotel. And what I told them is, I don't want to stay in any hotel. I want to stay in the people's houses. I want to go there to be with the people. I said, what I see Jesus doing is what I want to do. I said, I want to street preach. I want to street witness. I want to go around and hug everybody in your country. I said, I want to wash their feet. I want to do whatever Jesus wants. I said, I want to preach. I want to teach your leaders. They asked me to do all these things, but they're used to people doing something different. And I said, look, I want to go love these people to Jesus. And these preachers are just like, you've got to be kidding. You want to do that? I'm like, yeah, and I want to do it all day from morning till night. I said, I know I got to get some rest, but I go like a house of fire until I die. That's when I go to bed. I fall asleep. I sleep like a rock. You know, I mean, you know, the whole house is, you know, coming undone, and it doesn't bother me because I sleep like a rock at night because I go like a house of fire all day, you know? Just keep loving them where they're at. When I go there and I preach, they're going to be like hanging on every word because they are so desperate for life. They don't have insurance. They don't have welfare. They don't have some place they can go and some these nice organizations that go around and bring you food and do things. They don't have any of that. A lot of them don't have running water. They don't have toilets. They go and squat somewhere. Is somebody getting this? We've already experienced it when we went down to Mexico. These one people said, "We have a toilet." And I was trying to find a toilet for Sue. I didn't need a toilet, you know, but my wife needed a toilet. "We have a toilet." No, they. When we asked the people, they said, "We don't have a toilet, but they over there have a toilet." We went over and said, "Could we use your toilet?" And they said, "Yes, yes." And they took us back to this little hut, this little building. And we went in there, and Sue sat on it. Well, they had a toilet, but it wasn't hooked up. So it all... Anyway, you could smell it, and you can see it. And when you walk out of the room, you out of this little building, you watch it run down a little... You see, this, we don't know what we have in America. We are so spoiled. The poorest person in America is rich. You put them the same amount of money, you put them in another country, almost every country in the world, the poorest person in America would be rich in another country. I'm not saying there's not people that are richer than the poorest person. I'm trying to help you to understand. Well, guess what? These people want Jesus. And a lot of them don't even know they want Jesus. Because they're Buddhists and Hindus and Muslims and all those other false gods. But when you come in there with the love of Jesus and the power of Jesus, guess what? They soak that up because they need Jesus. They need, they're needy. We in America are not needy. We're full. We're full. We don't depend. We're taught to be independent. So we're full of pride and independence and self-sufficient. That's why we don't trust in God. That's why we don't depend on God. So my prayer is that God would break you. My prayer is that God would bring you to a place to where you realize you are needy, and in your life, your ways are not working. Your thoughts, your life is so far from what He has for you, and that you would realize that and you would call out to Him to come and fill and meet that need in your life. The kinds of soil, the wayside, they're hardened hearts. Hearts all unbroken and hard are like that pathway. They're not fit for saving truth. They hear the truth, but they don't receive it. They don't allow it to sink into them. Can I ask you a question? When you leave here, do you go home and think about what was said? When you go home, do you take these songs and do you sing them at home? Do you find yourself singing them at home? Do you sing them? When you do, is that cool? Does that do something inside of you? Does that encourage you and help you keep your focus on God? And if you're not, that's why your focus isn't on God. That's why you live at the level you do. Do you take the Word? Do you go home? Have you ever taken a sermon that you hear here and take all those verses? Do you write them down and go home and look them up and read them through the week? Like maybe read them every day and say, "God, I want to get out of it, whatever you want me to get out of it." Have you ever gone home and meditated on these or a thought? When I talk, when my wife talks, when you hear messages, doesn't something touch your heart? I'm sorry. I mean, does your heart get touched when you're here? Yes, you could do that, young lady. I'm not telling you that. I'm just telling you that when you read, hang on. No, you're fine. When you read, like mother. When you read, meditate on what you read. It's not just reading all the way through. I've read the Bible cover to cover a lot of times, okay? But it's not just reading it. It's read it and then say, God, what is it you want me to get out of this? What is it I need to see? So when you're reading, get a little notebook next to you while you're reading. And when something sticks out to you, or you're thinking about it or not understanding it, write it down. And then after you get through reading, go back and meditate on those things and pray and say, God, open it up to me. Help me to see. Help me to understand. Make it clear. Give me what I need inside. It's okay. I love you. I need you, Jesus. I can't make it without you. The wayside, when the seed, the Word of God was sown, when it was given out, there are different hearts. And each person in this room, as I read that, your heart is in there. Is your heart like the wayside where you've just gotten hardened over time? Your heart has been trodden on, stepped on. You feel like you've been walked on, used, abused. Maybe you've gotten hard. And when you even hear the Word, there's some people in this room that profit by it. And there's other people in this room that don't profit. That's what we're talking. There's some people that get closer to Jesus. And some people come here week after week after week and they don't get closer to Jesus. It's because of the condition of our heart. If your heart is hard, if you're hurting, come to Jesus and let Him heal your heart. Come to Jesus. Let Him do that. If you've hardened yourself toward God, toward truth, come to God. Let Him heal you. Let Him forgive you. I told you, when He found me, I was a drug dealer. I wasn't looking for God. I was trying to sell books to pay my way through college. And God tricked me into reading. I was going to sell the Bible. And as I started reading it, God got a hold of me. I'm smoking a joint, reading the Bible. And God said, what? He goes, Jesus, watch this. And He got me. And I'm like, oh my word. It was like He grabbed me by the life cord. Sometimes when I talk, you feel like I grabbed you by the life cord and it's kind of like shakes you. You know what I'm saying? I can't hear your head rattle, my dad used to say. It's amen or oh me, you got me. Okay? But one or the other. Well, God had me by the life cord and was shaking me. And I put that joint out and I read all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in one night. And as I read that, it was like, oh my word! Nobody had ever got me to read the Bible before. Just keep a list of rules, be a member of their glee club. Hey, I'd have gone to hell. That ain't it. I just told somebody this week, I don't know, I told several somebodies. I said, we are not trying to get you to come in a building. People say, I ask them all the time, you a Christian? Oh yeah, I go to church. I said, well, when you go in your garage, do you become a car? I said, just because you go in a building don't make you a Christian. Did you need Jesus to die for you personally? You see, there. I deserve to go to hell. I deserve to pay for my sin, every one of them. Jesus, I believe You're God. You died on that cross for me. Would You have mercy on me? Would You please not let me get what I deserve? And He said, that's why I was on the cross. So I'd get what You deserve, so You don't get it. He said, if You'll come to me and ask me to be Your substitute. Jesus, would You be my substitute? Take what I deserve? He says, I've been waiting. I've been waiting. Isn't that right, Doc? I've been waiting. He says, just give me all your sin. All of it. Because I'm going to pay for all of it. And then I'm going to give you forgiveness. I'm going to give you my righteousness. I'm going to make it so you can have relationship with your Creator and know your God. The wayside hardened, self-protected hearts. Hearts that don't allow the Word to sink down in. They don't understand. They don't apprehend. They don't get a hold of the Word, that God is using the Word as a means of restoring us to Himself. The Word doesn't penetrate. It makes no impression. It lies loosely for the birds to come and eat it up. The stony soil. Is your heart a stony soil? Is it shallow soil? Oh, I hear. Oh, it's wonderful. It seems to grow fast, but there's no depth. There's no root. You don't allow the Word to get down in and create root inside of you and develop inside of you and cause discipline inside of you. Instead, when persecution, when the sun beats on it, when hard things come. We had some people, when we were starting a church in Texas, it was the president of the largest bank in town said they heard about us somehow, I don't remember how, and they came to our church. President of the largest bank. But we had this little booger-headed kid about this big, and he sat behind the banker, and he got a straw, and he made spit wads. And all through church, when the banker got up with his nice $400 suit, right? It was covered with spit wads. I think it was more like a $1,000 suit, $2,000 suit. It was like, you know, decked out, you know? And he got up, and it was covered with spit wads. And I walk up to him, and I see him, I go, oh, no! And I walk up to him. I don't tell him. I just was standing there going, brother, we're really glad you're here, you know. And I'm wiping him off as I'm talking to him, you know. See these little stains, you know. And they said, you know, the church we've been going to, this church is different. I said, really? How's it different? They said, well, when the preacher, when she preaches, she doesn't ever use the Bible. I said, really? He said, yeah, she doesn't use the Bible. As a matter of fact, and after church, we always go over to one of the people in the church. We always go over to their house and stand by the pool because they only had rich people that went there. And I said, we always go and we hang out drinking, standing by the pool, talking about what a wonderful sermon it is. She said, but your church is different. It's like, I was feeling it while you were talking. It's like something's happening here. We love this place. We met Jesus, but nobody's ever helped us to grow. And I'm like, dude, I said, you're in the right place. This is the president of the largest bank in the town that we're doing this, starting this church in, right? So they made it 1 week. They started telling everybody about our church. They're the president of the largest bank, you understand? She's the head of all these little nice society women. You know what I mean? They loved our church. They used the Word of God there. It was awesome. They started telling everybody about our church. And people started saying, you go over there. Don't you know they have this person that goes there and these kind of people that go there, people that have been in jail and people that have been divorced. And I mean, they got all these, and they started saying all these things about us. And you know what they did? They came to me and said, preacher, we love your church, but we can't handle the persecution of people saying bad things to us because we told them we liked your church and all these people don't like your church. And we can't handle the persecution. We can't come back to your church. Because we can't handle people saying bad things to us that they don't like the church we like. I said, you think that's persecution? I said, hang out with me for a little while. You'll find out what some persecution is. I said, persecution? Just because somebody don't like where you go to church? And they say, well, they got that weird preacher over there, you know. He goes around knocking on all the doors and he interrupts everybody's life, you know. He wouldn't even start a ministry in the jail, you know. There is going to come a time, if you choose Jesus, you're going to have to take a stand. You're going to have to take a stand. People aren't going to like it. People aren't going to understand you. People that are living in sin aren't going to like you, who you don't want to do sin anymore. People who are living in darkness aren't going to like it when you come around because there's light. You don't even have to say anything. You just walk in the room. And you stand for truth, but you stand for truth in love. You don't be obnoxious about it. Bless God, I'm right. You're wrong. Too bad you're wrong. I mean, you don't got to act like that. You love people. When they say stuff that's wrong, you don't got to comment on it. Keep your mouth shut. Just love them. Talk to them about what is true. If they ask you, well, I don't want to give you my opinion, but here's what the Word says. What do you do with the Word? There's different kind of soils. Hard hearts, hardened hearts, stony hearts that are shallow. There's thorny hearts that where the cares of this world, the pleasures of this world choke out the Word of God working inside of you. And then there's these precious hearts, these good hearts. They receive the Word. They listen. They let it down on inside. They let it grow. And guess what happens? It brings forth fruit. And what happens is you start seeing Jesus in them. You start seeing them. They start looking like Jesus. They act like Jesus. They think like Jesus. They talk like Jesus. They love like Jesus. Is that what you want? Is that what you want your heart to be? God, here's the prayer. Just close your eyes. God, if you agree, just tell Him, yes. God, I want my heart to be the good heart. That may not be where my heart is right now, but I'm inviting You to work inside of me because I want to have a heart that is, in Your eyes, You would declare it as the good heart. The good ground. Where Your Word could come and be planted inside of me and bring forth fruit. You could bring forth fruit in my life that would praise You, that would honor Jesus, that would glorify Your name. I want to have a heart that You say is good. That may not be my heart right now, but that's where I want my heart to be. Please remove out of me what's not of You. Please soften my heart. Please teach me how to come to You and get my healing and get my forgiveness. And because I don't want to have a hard heart. I don't want to be self-protective. I want You to be my protection, Father. I want You to live inside of me. I don't want to be caught up in the cares and the riches of this world, Lord. I could own those things, but I don't want them to own me so that they take all my time and energy and focus. I want You to be the God of my life, Jesus. I want You to be number one. I want to want what You want, like what You like, hate what You hate, and allow You to live Your life through me to love others so they could know You and have freedom and have peace with God and joy and know they're going to heaven. If that's your prayer, just tell them, amen. That's what I want. Do whatever it takes, God. Tell them, do whatever it takes to bring me to that place. Thank You, Jesus.